the end of the chapter. So Paul is writing to this church that he couldn't get back to, but he's just ending his letter to them, and he's giving them some things that he says, these are some things that you need to watch out for, you need to do, need to make them a part of your life, and they will bless you as you do these things. He says, therefore, comfort each other and edify one another just as you are doing. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourself. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all, see that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourself and for all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit, and do not despise prophecies. Test all things, and hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Isn't it interesting that 2,000 years, verse 27, I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. We're still completing that scripture, aren't we? Amen. Let's pray. Father God, it's always wonderful to be in your presence. I just pray, God, that you would have your way in this service. Lord, I just feel like there's things in the spiritual realm that you're wanting to complete today. So, God, we just lay down our agendas, and we just ask, God, that you would have your perfect will and perfect way in this service. God, I pray that, Lord, your word says, he that has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. God, help us, each and every one, including myself, to hear what your Spirit is saying. I pray, Lord, that every word spoken will be from the throne room of heaven. Lord, that it would be anointed to edify and to build up, God. So, Lord Jesus, we pray, Lord, you're not done in this service. We ask that you continue your work, your holy work. God, have your way. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So we talked about these 10 points, and I got through 5 of them last week. Hope to get through the other 5 this week, but I'm going to give you the first 5 first. Atlantis probably wondered where in the world I'm going. But number 1 was to edify one another. Now this is talking about when we get together and even in your life. Church should be a happy place because we should watch our words and we should be building each other up. So, as a matter of fact, you know, the Bible literally says if you can't speak it edifying, then don't speak it. So, you know, I think it was Thumper on Bambi, right? It said, my mama told me if I can't say nothing nice, not to say anything at all. Well, that's godly. That's really godly wisdom. Wouldn't we be a whole lot better off if people, if they couldn't say something nice, not to say anything at all? Man, maybe you don't agree with that? I totally agree with that. I think it'd be wonderful. I thought that was edifying. That wasn't nearly what I was wanting to know. That's just speaking the truth in love, brother. In Ephesians 4, he said, let no corrupt word proceed from your mouth, but what is good and necessary for edification. I think we just need to be mindful. Let's build each other up, right? Let's not tear each other down. Let's build each other up. The second thing he said is esteem highly and recognize those who labor. He says to honor those who are serving you and honor those who are teaching and giving you the word of life. Honor means to give weight to. In other words, their words are very important to you. So let's make sure that we honor those who are serving the body of Christ. Number three, he says, don't render evil for evil. The word says that we overcome evil by doing good. That's probably the exact opposite of what you want to do, right? When someone says something ugly, the very first thing that usually goes through your mind is a retaliation. I want to give her a piece of my mind, or I want to slap her. I want to do this. But the Bible says not to do that. We don't overcome evil with evil. We overcome evil by doing good. And there's a scripture in 1 Timothy 5:17 and 18 that says when you do that, you literally add heaps of coal of fire on their head. In other words, when you're ugly, when you're being nasty, and someone else is generous and nice and stays in love, man, all that guilt. See, before you could think it was them. You could think, well, they're guilty and that's why I feel this way. But when they respond to love, all of a sudden, all the fault is in your court. It's like, oh my goodness, as a believer, it's an awful place to be in because you realize, God, I've blown it. Now, we don't do things for that purpose, but that's the end result. When you stay in love, now, guys, this works everywhere. This works in the church house. It works in your home. It works in your business. Wherever you're at, if you stay in love, you're going to overcome that. It may take a while, but you're going to change the atmosphere of where you're at. And I quoted a couple verses to you from Proverbs that says a soft answer turns away wrath. You need to realize you always have a choice. When someone is getting ugly, when someone's speaking hatefully to you, you have a choice. You can either come back with kindness, or you can come back in a like spirit of angriness, you know. And also in Proverbs 26, it says, if you quit adding wood to the fire goes out. And if any of you ever heated with wood in your house, grew up that way, you know if you forget to stoke the fire at night, you're going to wake up to a cold house. Well, that's not exactly what this is talking about. This is talking about a fight. And so when you and your spouse are sort of going at it, if you'll just quit adding wood to that fire, that's good preaching. If somebody just shuts up, that fight's going to stop. And this, again, this is relational. Isn't it great that the Word of God gives us wisdom in our relationships? You know, He cares about you going to heaven, but He also cares about how you live here. Right? He wants us to be His poster children. Hey, you follow that one as He follows me. He's exactly doing it the way I want to. And then number four, he says, rejoice always, which I think takes a tremendous amount of faith. There are just days when you don't feel like rejoicing. There are days when it seems like if it could go wrong, it did go wrong, right? And it's still, this scripture is still in effect on your worst day. On the day when nothing is right, everything is broken down, everybody's nibbling and biting at you, he says to rejoice, to be joy. How in the world can you do that? It's a matter of faith. You see, I think Satan always overplays his hand. I think that when your car breaks down, it's not always Satan, right? You know, when you have a little spat with your spouse, that's not always Satan. It can just sometimes be a disagreement. If your boss comes to you and says, gets on to you a little bit, that's not Satan. Maybe you just haven't been doing a good job. Maybe you need to pay attention to those words of admonishment, right? But I find that when I can see Satan's hand is when one thing and then another thing and then another, he just it just keeps on coming, right? He overplays his hand. This breaks down and that breaks down and this is happening. And to where, have you ever had one of those days where it seems like the world is crumbling on you? And then Scripture says, rejoice. Oh yeah, I feel like rejoicing. Thank you very much. But you know, I got to think, I was sitting there as we was worshiping and I thought, how confusing that must be to the devil. You see, the devil, he expects you to fall apart because he's just pulled out his last play. Here's a little bit more discouragement. Here's an overdue bill. Here's some sickness. Here's this. Everybody hates you sitting on the corner eating worms, right? Just, I mean, you're just in a bad way. And Satan says, I've got them. One more blow and I've got them. They're going to crumble. So here comes his worst hand. And what do? You lift your hands. You say, and I will rejoice in God my Savior. Hallelujah. God is in charge. I don't know how you're going to turn this one around, God, but I know you're going to. So I worship you and I rejoice in you, God, that you're Lord over my life and you're Lord over this day. So I rejoice in you. And Satan's sitting back, what? What's going on? Wouldn't you do that? What in the world? You're supposed to fall apart. It's a matter of faith. When joy's in the heart, rejoicing is going to happen. And joy comes from a place where I know he's got it under control. Number five, he said, pray without ceasing. I have found that most Christians that I know live in guilt to their prayer life. No one really thinks they pray enough. And that's Satan. That Satan is the one that tries to condemn you. Now the Lord encourages you to make everything a matter of prayer. I think if we would think this, if we would get up in the morning and start our conversation with God, when you put one foot on the floor, you just say, good morning, not good Lord morning. Good morning, Lord. Right? Most of us say, good Lord, it's morning again. But just start that conversation. God, thank you for a good night's sleep. Thank you, Lord, for another day that I get to serve you. And God, I just pray you prepare this day for me. Just go before me. And God, you know I have needs. Lord, begin to touch these needs. You know, one thing as a pastor, you can get overwhelmed with prayer requests. It's daily that my phone goes off. And pray for this. And sometimes, man, Verlene called me yesterday. We were visiting Treva's kids, our Treva's siblings. And she didn't have kids outside of my ours. get you in a lot of trouble. He'll be taking a boat after this service. We were up there in Springfield, Missouri yesterday. And Verlene called me and like that, the situation changed. She was crying on the phone. She said, pray for my grandson, Nick, which I've been praying for Nick. But he was like an all-time low. And you know, that wasn't the last prayer request I got that day. Two or three more come in, very serious things. Tracy Levitt went into ER last night. And we just began to pray. If I took all that stuff, it would just be too much. Just too much for a person. God never told me to carry it. He told me to cast it. So I just go before the Lord. God, I can't do a thing for Nick, but I know you can. I know you're the healer. Verlene told me this morning, by the end of the day, he was smiling and doing much, much better. And so God hears your prayer request. You see, when you finally settle it, how many people remember when you first get saved, you feel like when you pray, it just hits the ceiling and bounces back. You know, it's just like, well, that didn't go anywhere. Well, you know, we're not made to walk by feelings. I don't care what you feel when you pray. I'm here to tell you, when you pray in the name of Jesus, the Bible says that He hears you. And I believe that if He hears us, He will respond. Right? So just settle that in your heart. And when that gets settled, you're going to be a person of prayer. Right? Because when you understand that the God of the universe, the creator of this world, is listening to you, hears you, puts His eye upon you, says He knows every hair on your head. He knows your situation. Psalms 139:5 says He hems you in. I love that. He hems you in. He's behind you and He's before you, but He's got His hand on you right now. When that gets settled in your heart, you will be a person of prayer. Praying without ceasing is talking about just staying in that atmosphere all day long of being in prayer to the Lord. So all day long, you're just talking to Him. If you've never watched Fiddler on the Roof, you need to watch it. I forgot that guy's name, but he talks to Atevia, that's right. He talks to God all day long. And he actually fusses at God. God, what you doing? You know, I think God's big enough to handle when you fuss at Him a little bit. We'll move right on. Number six was, and this is where we're starting new, in everything give thanks. Now, I had a little bit of trouble with this because I had trouble in my mind separating this from rejoicing always. But see, if you'll do this number six, in everything give thanks, and it literally says, for this is the will of God. I find it really interesting that people that begin to hunger for Jesus, one of the things that they'll ask you to pray about is God's will for their life. Let me tell you, I've got one of them. I've got one of them that I can tell you what God's will for your life is. In everything give thanks. That will change your world. I promise you. If you become a grateful person. Now let me just say this. It doesn't say for everything. I don't thank God for cancer. I don't thank God for a car wreck. Oh, thank you God, I got to experience. No. But in that situation, I can say, God, I thank you that I know you're in charge. You know, life just deals you some things that you're not expecting, doesn't it? I don't care who you are. You're going to go through some things in this world that you're not expecting. And it's going to take you off guard, but it never catches Him off guard. You get that? I think of Brother Vine, ministered all his life. Right towards the end of retirement, his wife gets Alzheimer's. I don't see anything just about that in my life, in my mind. God, this man and this woman served you all their life, and now he's dealing with caring for his wife. That doesn't make sense to me. And I'm sure it caught him off guard. But I can tell you one thing. If you'll make it a matter of thanks, if you'll give Him thanks in this situation, whatever you're going through right now, God, I thank you. I thank you I'm not overwhelmed. And when I am overwhelmed, you lead me to the rock. You're higher than I. God, I can't figure this one out, but I give you thanks that you're still Lord. You're still in control. God, I pray right now that you begin to change the situation. You see, thankfulness is a choice. And it needs to be the focus of our day. In Philippians chapter 4, I think it's verse 6, he says, Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. It means you're praying. But in your prayer, he says, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. See, I think before you ever start asking God for anything, you ought to start in thanksgiving. Amen. God, I thank you. You know what? I just thank you that we have an avenue of prayer. Isn't it wonderful that we can pray? What would it be like if Christians couldn't talk to God? Here you go, boy. Here's life. Deal with it best you can. We already make big enough mess of it, don't we? If we couldn't talk to God, I am so thankful for the whispers of heaven that give me a little insight. And I believe God wants to give us insight. Satan tries to deal his blow, but God is in control. Amen. I think that rhymed. Romans 8:28, and you guys know this verse. He says, and we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. We usually stop there, but if you would continue on to verse 31, he says, what then shall we say? What words are going to come out of your mouth? Because see, Romans 8:28, normally when we quote it, it's because things are not going well. So we begin to quote this to ourselves. I believe all things will work together for the good. Doesn't look very good right now, but I believe God is going to work this for the good. And then he says, what then shall we say? What is going to come out of your mouth when tragedy happens? It matters. You get it? What are you going to say when you get the final notice that you're losing your house? What are you going to say when your spouse looks at you and says, I think I'm tired of living with you? What are you going to say when a doctor gives you a slip of paper and says, can't fix this one? Can you rejoice and be glad? Can you say you're in charge? Right? It ain't over until the fat lady sings, and I ain't heard no fat lady sing yet, Lord, so I'm hanging in there. If God is for us, who can be against us? God is on your side, right? God is working for you. He's preparing things. He's on His job. But you got to change your focus. You got to thank Him when there's nothing to thank Him for. Got it? That's faith. See, we want God to do it, and then we'll thank Him for it. And God says, no, it doesn't work that way. You thank me, you praise me when things are going bad, and then I will change it. That's good preaching. Maybe you didn't get it, but you ought to shout right now. Thank you, Jesus. It's a choice. Will I be thankful? It's one of the attributes that I couldn't stand in my children was ungratefulness. So you may not have much, but you better be thankful for what you do have. Right? And then he goes on and he says, quench not the spirit. This is where I believe that he shifts gears just a little bit. And to where I think that he's talking more about the body of Christ, what happens in the services, but it's also true for our individual life. We live in a world that loves the supernatural. Do you agree with that? People are looking for supernatural things, and the church has got the goods, and we're hiding it. We're scared of it. Why do we not move in the Spirit? I can only come up with one reason. Fear. I'm just a little afraid that I might get a little freaky. Might get a little scary. And let me just tell you, let me come down there. I think God's moving.
Amen.
All the time.
Amen.
If you're a born-again believer, if you've asked Jesus into your heart, the Bible says the Spirit of God is within you. It says we have this treasure in this earthen vessel. We have this treasure called the Holy Spirit. He is not an it. He is the third part of the Godhead. And this scripture says, don't quench Him. Let Him speak in your life. And when He speaks, you have a choice. You can say, not now, leave me alone. Or you can say, okay, I'll be obedient. Say, how do you know when He's speaking? You develop it. You'll figure it out. He speaks differently to each one of us. But when He spoke to the prophet, remember, it was a quiet, still voice. Rarely ever does the Holy Spirit say, hey, 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 stop, 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 stop. Now, I have known Him to do that. And it's a very dangerous situation usually. Most of the time, the Spirit of God is like this. Go talk to her. What do you mean, talk to her? Just go talk to her. You know, He doesn't tell you much. He doesn't tell you the whole thing. He gives you this little nudge and says, go talk to her. Well, why? I don't know her. Just go talk to her. So you got to mosey up to somebody you don't know. Hey, how are you doing? Having a good day? And she ain't ever having a good day. She's, not really. And God begins to fill your mouth with words. It's not you, it's Him. Amen. Quench not the Spirit. We are so trained to believe that all the ministry in the church happens from here back. And I got news for you, that ain't it. Ministry in the church begins on the parking lot. Begins in the front door. It's just family loving each other. It's just family talking and sharing. Quench not the Spirit. If the Spirit of the Lord says, hey, you need to give $100 to this one. You know, that's usually when we say, get thee behind me, Satan. You know, I heard Robert Morris telling a story one time. He said, this lady in the church, single mother, she always tried to give, but the Lord was really encouraging her to begin to tithe. And the Lord says, I want you to give $120 in the service. And she said, God, that's all I got in my bank account. And He said, you give it. And she did. So out of obedience, she gave it. And Robert Morris carries $100 bills in his pocket, just in case the Lord moves on his heart, just to bless people. So it's not uncommon for him to give people, be generous with them. But this time when he saw this lady in the parking lot, she was getting her car, he saw this lady and he said, give her $120. And he said, Lord, I don't give $120. I give $100 bills, but I don't give $120. And he said, the Lord said, you do what I tell you to do. You don't make the rules. You listen and obey. And so he went up to this lady and he got $120 out. Now that is not going to happen every time. But you see what the Lord was doing? The Lord was teaching her, you can trust me. You can trust me. Now what if Robert hadn't obeyed? She would never learn that lesson. You know, I just believe there's a lot of people going around the mountain one more time because somebody didn't speak to them when the Spirit of God prompted them. So we don't have to be real scary about this stuff. Quenching not the Holy Spirit is just loving on people sometimes. Sometimes it's giving a word. Sometimes it's maybe giving money. But it's just listening to Him. And we do this, we try to do this a lot in the service. Just listen to the Lord. Be obedient to the Lord. The Lord may have you sitting in your pew and says, go pray for this lady back there in row 6. What are you going to do? You're very quietly going to step out of your chair at the appropriate time. Timing is as important as the word is. So you wait on the Lord. When do you want me to do that, Lord? It's all right to ask him questions. And he'll let you know. I remember one time going through a low part in my life. And this is such a silly story, but I was going through a low point in my life where I thought, man, I just don't even know if I hear you anymore, God. And I took, we went after church and I went to Kroger's, and Treva says, I'm going to run in there for just a minute. Her minutes are extended, I'm going to tell you. You can watch people going in and coming out, you know, and I always watch, well, he's got his stuff quick, you know, and she's going to be there for a while. So I parked the car and I said, God, I really need to know that I hear your voice. And I said, God, would you tell me when to get out of my parking spot and go to the front door? And when I get to the front door, Treva walks out that door at the same time. And that's all I said. And several times I think, better leave now. Better leave now. Better leave now. And then all of a sudden I heard the voice. Okay, go now. I started my car. I backed up. Went up to the front door. When I got to the curb, Treva steps out the door. And he says, see, you hear my voice. You see, God will do whatever he has to do so that you can hear his voice. Our job is to respond to his voice. Don't quench that spirit. Because if you think his voice is the only voice speaking, you got it wrong. Because the loudest voice in your head is not God and it's not the devil. It's you. It's you. And we got to redeem that one. We got to say, God, I want to hear your voice and I want to act upon your voice. Don't quench that spirit. And then I think the next one is despise not prophecy. Again, it's another way of God has us speaking to us. Now, most of the time, that's in Scripture. You know, that's in the service when God, someone will prophesy. Let me just tell you for a moment what I see going on in the body of Christ. I think that we have tried to replace the unction, the Spirit-filled preacher, with a degree. And we're asking for people with credentials to come in and to lead the body of Christ that maybe have no anointing on them. Guys, I'm going to tell you, we need the anointing. Now, I believe in education. And I believe that when you get both, someone that has applied knowledge and someone that's got the unction of the Spirit of God, you've got a gift. But don't try to replace the unction of the Holy Ghost with an education somewhere. It doesn't, because you're being educated by men, right? You're being educated in a world society. We need to allow God to speak. And a lot of churches are toning down the voice of prophecy in the house. You know what that is? In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, part of the gifts of the Spirit is prophecy. Prophecy always edifies. It always encourages. It always exhorts. Prophecy is a good thing. It's not disrupting our service. It is our service. You see, if you come here for any other reason than you need to hear from Jesus, you come for the wrong reason. I don't come to impress somebody. I don't come to see how somebody is dressed. I come because I need to hear the voice of God and I need to fellowship with the Spirit of God. Amen. And I want Him to speak however He chooses to speak. Amen. I don't want chaos, and neither does He. It's supposed to be orderly, in flow with the Spirit of God. And it can be. It can be extremely just as orderly as you can. But someone comes up to me and says, Eric, I got a word from the Lord. Okay, give it. And then the next point is test. So if someone stands up and says, I got a word from the Lord. Just as Moses built the ark, God is going to build you a boat. But Moses didn't build the ark. Noah built the ark. I actually heard that story where someone stood up there and then she got back up and she said, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Moses didn't build the ark. Noah built the ark. God messed up. I'm sorry. God doesn't mess up, right? So your job is to test it. Why do we test? We test, first of all, does that line up with the Scripture? That didn't line up with the Scripture. Second of all, did that agree with the Spirit of God that's within me? You know, I have heard people give words that were correct biblically, but in my spirit, it was like, oh, that didn't feel good. It's an amazing thing. Just like grieves the spirit that's within you. What do you do? You don't rebuke the person. They're trying. They're trying to be used by the Spirit of God. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. See, years ago, that saying comes from a fact that people used to bathe once a week. They filled the tub up with water, and Daddy got to bathe first. He'd come out of the field, and Dad bathed. By that last child, that water was so dark, you could lose somebody in that water. And he said, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Well, that's what we do in the church sometimes. Sometimes there was 10 things talked about today that was just, boy, they were powerful and they were right from the Scripture. But that last point just didn't like it. So what do I do? That sermon's not from God. Are you kidding me? You got 9 good things? You're going to throw the whole sermon out because of one? No, 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 no. You keep those 9. But that one that didn't agree with your spirit, just let it go. Just let it go. We're growing in things. You know, just the way you're growing in the Lord, people grow in their gifts. I thank God for people that are willing to make a mistake. Now, if someone is speaking out of any other motive, if their motive is to be heard, or their motive is to look spiritual, whatever that motive is, if that's a bad motive, then you got a problem. And that pastor is going to probably have to deal with that problem. But when the motive is right, when the person just wants to be used by the Lord, but they missed it, what's our job? Our job is to love. Let's just love them. Just come alongside and, hey, you know, I think maybe you didn't quite get that this morning, but I really appreciate you being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You don't say it from the pulpit. You say it with your arm around them, saying, keep trying. You keep trying. Keep listening to that voice. Nobody gets it right perfectly all the time. How many people have heard bad sermons? Not in this church, but in other places. Test things, approve things, and hold fast what is good. And the last thing he speaks, he says, abstain from every form of evil, even the appearance of evil. That's something that's not preached much. Back in my day when I was growing up, we always preached that. The preachers would preach that, and they'd preach it fiery. And you'd preach it from a point in your life individually. I don't think he's changed thoughts yet. I think he's still talking about body ministry. Can you apply it to your life? Absolutely. But I think that he's saying, in the body of Christ, don't despise prophecy. Don't quench the spirit. You know, keep the good, throw out the bad, and abstain from every form of evil in the body. So you are the body. So you can take this at home on an individual level. There are things that are not bad, but if somebody sees you doing it, they're going to think bad. It's probably doesn't need to be done, according to the Scripture. There's things that we need to make sure that we're standing on solid ground in the church house. He goes on and he talks about, he says, and the God of peace. I believe that we all need to realize that that's part of God's name, is the God of peace. You know, we're heading to Chile, and yesterday on the news, looks like Chile is having a rough time. I mean, there's some bad things happening in Chile, and we got plane tickets going in 2 weeks. A lot of unrest. But you know what I thought as I was driving home and I heard that news? I thought this, my feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and I serve the God of peace. And wherever I go, peace goes. I love that God calls himself the God of peace. I need that. He says, sanctify you, separate you, holy, set me apart for a purpose. Spirit, soul, and body, this is where I really need help. Right here between the ears. This is where the battle comes and goes. This is where Satan tells you you're a failure. Right there. And we got to fight the battle here. And the God of peace is going to help you in that. He's going to show you and separate truth from lies in your heart. And then he ends with this. He says, he who calls you is faithful. I think it's my favorite name of God, is faithful. Guys, I just want to tell you, you can trust him. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. You can trust God. You see, I can't tell you your future, but I can tell you the God who holds the future. He's got you. He's going to hold you. You might go through some things you wasn't expecting. We all do. But God is faithful. I promise you, God will see you through this one. And we win. At the end of the day, we win. We're victorious. Amen. Stand with me if you would. One of my favorite verses in all scripture. Trevor, you want to come to the piano? One of my favorite scriptures is 2 Timothy 2:3, because I find myself like this sometimes. He says, if we are faithless, you ever identify with that man in scripture who says, God, I believe, but help thou my unbelief? He says, if you are faithful, if you're faithless, can't read my writing. He remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. His faithfulness is not dependent upon your faithfulness. God is faithful when you're unfaithful. Aren't you thankful for that? Amen. Would you bow your head? Spirit of God, move today. Touch the hearts and lives of people. If you're here today and say, man, I feel like the first one is, I need help. See, Eric, I'm at that point in life when I've been dealt the things that I was not expecting. And I'm really having a hard time rejoicing, and I'm having a hard time being thankful, and I'm having a hard time just being faithful, quite honestly. And I need help. Could you just raise your hand, just not even to me, but to the Lord. Just says, Lord, you see, that's where I'm at. See, I think honesty is what God is looking for. Honesty and humility. I think God can move in our hearts when we admit to him that there's something going on. You can put your hand down. Is there anyone here that says, I'm not saved? I've never asked Jesus into my heart. But I'm feeling God is pulling me to himself. With an uplifted hand, say, Pastor, would you just pray for me? I want to get it right today with the Lord. Anyone? Amen. Let's pray for those that are feeling overwhelmed. God, we come before you right now, Lord Jesus. And I felt such an anointing when I was preaching that part of the sermon. God, that, Lord, sometimes the unexpected happens. You never told us that we had to plan our future. You just told us that to seek you with all of our heart and to walk with you, and you would take care of our future. God, there's people in this house today that with an uplifted hand, they said, hey, I'm right there. Jesus, I'm asking that you show yourself compassionate in their life. God, would you just come up alongside those folks right now and just speak the words that you're there? Sometimes we just need to know that you're there, that you have not forgotten us, that you know us, you know our names, and you're still in charge. Even when the bad happens, you're still in charge. God, I pray right now, your word says that when Satan came in like a flood, that you would raise a standard. I pray right now, God, that a standard would be raised in their life, that they would know that right beside them is God Almighty. You've not forgotten them, and it has not caught you off guard. That their job is to walk in faith, and yet you would keep your hand upon them. God, I pray they feel your spirit and they hear your voice today, and that hope comes back into their life. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.